We've sung it, now let us turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. I want you to notice before we even begin, when he says, he uses the word you a lot, and that is meant to be taken in two ways. It means you, he's speaking to himself, he will not let you, yourself, this happen. And he's also speaking collectively. In other words, you, 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 and you. That's who this is to. Let us read now the Word of God, Psalm 121. Reminder here that we are on the Psalms of Ascent, which basically means this. We're on a life's journey, and our destination is the new heavens and new earth. On this journey, we're going to encounter many things, and we'll see something here that we're going to encounter. Let us read God's Word. I lift up my eyes to the hills or the mountains. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's Word. Let us pray together. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we are on this lifelong journey towards the new heavens and new earth, that you give us these songs to encourage us and to point us to the one from whom our help comes. We ask, Lord, that you'll help us to better understand what is before us and live in light of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as much as that mile-wide independent streak running down the middle of who we are wants to deny it, the fact remains, you and I are needy people. We are needy people. On a very basic level, we need food and air and water. Without those three basics, the song of our life is going to end. You know, as far back as 1943, and some of you, especially in education or psychology, remember this, as far back as 1943, a psychologist by the name of Abraham Maslow developed something called a hierarchy of needs, beginning with the most basic need, deficiency needs, like food, air, and water, moving up the pyramid to what we need in order to grow and to flourish as members of the human race. And if you reflect for a while on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you can look it up yourself. Don't do it right now. But as we reflect on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, what strikes us is how apart from God, even our basic needs of food and air and water cannot be met. We are needy people. And we should understand that better than any. You know, for the last year, from March 2020 to 2021, if it taught us anything, it taught us we are needy people. But the question is, where do we go when we need help? What is the source of the help we need? Well, some people would say just go to that band of theologians from the 1960s by the name of John, Paul, George, and Ringo, and you'll discover that I get by with a little help from my friends. Is that so? Does our help come from our friends, our family, from dialing 911? Does our help ultimately come from our financial institutions, from our political institutions? When we need help, which is all the time, help, I need somebody, as we travel down life's highway, as we move closer and closer every day toward our destination, the new heavens and new earth, where does our help come from? And notice right off the bat, in the second part of verse 1, the question is answered. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. Now, to understand better what the psalmist is getting at, I want you to focus on verse 1. And it says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, or the hills. Now, he's traveling toward Jerusalem. He's looking up in the mountains. He's about to encounter. And what the psalmist sees in the mountains is danger. danger. You see, it's in the mountains that the psalmist is going to encounter wild animals, ugly critters, poisonous snakes, landslides, accidents waiting to happen, no medical help in sight, nary a MEA or a clinic anywhere to be seen, bandits, thugs, gypsies, tramps, and thieves, stormy weather, blazing, dehydrating heat causing heat stroke, bitter frostbite level, cold, and all that happening sometimes within 24 hours. You burn up, you freeze. Unpredictable weather patterns, from being bright and sunny to being stormy in a matter of minutes. In other words, in the mind of the psalmist, the mountains represent those things in life, those dangers that threaten our very existence. In other words, in your journey of life, of living, you're going to encounter trouble. You don't have to look for it. Trouble is going to look for you. In your family, in your work, in your friendships, when you're playing sports, when it comes to your health, even when you get behind the wheel of your car and drive down the road, every day of your life, you'll encounter trouble. I had an appointment at 12 o'clock the other day, and it was over on Highway 51. And so I left at about 11:20 from over here. Plenty of time to make it over there, or so I thought. What I didn't realize is that on O'Fannin Road, there was a wreck. Two-car wreck. There were people hurt, and there was traffic stacked up as far as you could see, going both ways. And what turned out to be a 12 o'clock, what was going to be a 12 o'clock appointment, turned out to be a 12:30 appointment. You see, you never know. You never know. If you're looking for trouble, you came to the right place if you're in this world. Now, in this place where trouble is everywhere and anywhere, in this journey to, as John Bunyan called it in Pilgrim's Progress, the Celestial City, trouble is always never far away from wherever you are. So how does that make you feel? To know that you can run into trouble anytime. How does it make you feel? Well, what it tends to do is it makes us anxious. Do any of y'all have a problem with anxiety? If you're breathing, you do. Now, for insight into this problem of anxiety, I want to tell you a story about Winnie the Pooh. One day, Winnie the Pooh and Piglet are walking the 100-acre wood. It's an incredibly windy day. As Piglet attempts to walk against the wind is blowing so hard his ears are streaming behind him like banners. And being, as the story goes, a small, nervous, and anxious sort of animal, Piglet turns to Pooh and says, "Pooh, supposing a tree falls down when we're underneath it?" Piglet's worried about what might happen. Winnie the Pooh's response is this: "Well, supposing it did, no. How about supposing it didn't happen?" It's pretty wise. But we know that in that story, we identify more with Piglet than Pooh. The hills that represent the potential for danger worries the psalmist. So with all this potential for danger in this fallen world in which we live, where does our help come from? Very clearly stated there. This is a preacher's dream. You don't have to find the proposition, it's there. Our help comes from the Lord. Now, there's two reasons why we can be confident in the Lord even when we're in times of trouble. In times of trouble, we can be confident in the Lord for two reasons. And the first reason is this: we are confident in the Lord, first of all, because the Lord is bigger than our troubles. He is bigger than our troubles. Notice it says, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." You see the mountains before you. We see what makes us anxious. We feel small, vulnerable, helpless. But what we need to do is lift our vision higher. Look beyond the mountains, beyond every problem that we have, potential or real, beyond the dangers we're going to face, we need to look to Yahweh, the one who made these mountains, the one who is so powerful that he literally spoke and everything came to be. How little effort is that? Everything came into being. Everything you see, even those things you don't see. You see, this is where the psalmist starts. We need to ask ourselves this question this morning. When I face anxious times in my life, when I'm worried, do my thoughts first run to the Lord, the one who makes the heavens and the earth, the one who sustains everything by the word of his power? Do my thoughts go there first? Let's be honest, probably not. Probably not. You know, we can learn a lesson from our children about this when it comes to problems. You have a child, the child can't reach those cookies in the cookie jar on top of the refrigerator. What do I do? Child doesn't have any problem with that. No sweat. I'll just ask mom or dad or whoever's in the kitchen. You see, when the big problem is cookies you can't reach, guess who's bigger than your problem? Your parents. Same with the Lord God. By the way, this word for Lord in your Bible is more accurately translated Yahweh. Now let me explain the difference between Yahweh and Lord. See, the Lord is his title. Yahweh is his personal name, his covenant name. There's a difference. And just as I do not refer to my wife as the wife, but I refer to her as Carol, perhaps we need to start calling our covenant God by his personal name, which is Yahweh. Or at least you can say this, Yahweh the Lord. That way you have his personal name and his title together. Now, Yahweh the Lord, your creator, is your covenant God. That's the name for our covenant God, Yahweh. He literally, in his covenant with us, bound himself to us, ultimately through the blood of Jesus Christ. And friends, the cross is proof positive. In the words of Romans 8:31, the cross proves to us beyond a shadow of a doubt, God is for you. Your heavenly Father, in times of trouble, is for you. The God who made everything, who literally brought heaven to earth by sending Jesus to live and to die for you. This God revealed right here in Psalm 121 is bigger than your problems. So when you face trouble in life, face trouble with complete confidence in the Lord Yahweh. Remind yourself every Sunday. You know, we begin the Apostles' Creed with these words. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. Remind yourself, if the hills you're looking at are terrifying, remember, who made the hills? Yahweh, the Lord. In control, sovereign, your personal covenant God. A God who is always bigger than your troubles. So, the first reason you're confident is this. You have confidence because God is bigger than your troubles. And notice the second place, the second reason we have confidence in the Lord Yahweh is this. Not only is he bigger than our problems, but the Lord cares about our problems. He cares about our troubles. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen? No, nobody knows but Jesus. Now, notice this. He says, he will not let your foot be moved. He will not let your foot be moved. Remember now, this is personal. The psalmist isn't saying, you know, yeah, Yahweh cares for his people. No, he's saying, look, he, Yahweh, will not let your foot be moved. Now, let's look here at the depth of the Lord God's care for us, of Yahweh's care, here's some characteristics of the care Yahweh gives to us. The first characteristic is this: Yahweh's care of you is constant. Constant. That's verses 3 and 4. If you do a deep dive into that phrase, "He will not let your foot be moved," I discovered something. You know, you discover something new every time you look at the Bible. I discovered while I was researching this that this phrase, "He will not allow your foot to be moved," or "for your foot to slip," that combination of words is never used in Scripture to refer to physical falling. In other words, God is not promising the absence of pain, the absence of problems, the absence of adversity in our lives. God never promised me that I would not attend Mary Claire's final soccer game and slip up in the stands and break my shoulder. That's not a promise that that would not happen. What it is this: it's the divine assurance that through the winds and waves and storms of life, we will never sink in the sea of divine judgment, because Yahweh, the Lord, will uphold us by His mighty hand. What we're talking about here, this verse is talking about something called the perseverance of the saints, which is God preserving us. Jesus says in John 10, verses 27 through 30, no one can snatch God's sheep out of His hands. Romans 8:31, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. In other words, what this verse is doing is this: it's assuring us, no matter what happens to us, Yahweh is always watching over us, and we will never fall into the abyss of judgment. Not ever. And then to emphasize this watch care, look at verses 3 and 4. Notice it says, "He who keeps Israel, he who keeps you will not slumber." Behold, verse 4, "He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." In other words, Yahweh never sleeps. He never daydreams. He's never distracted. He's never inattentive. We sleep soundly at night because Yahweh is always awake, always standing guard, eyes wide open, watching us, His covenant people. There's an interesting and somewhat humorous story that emphasizes this fact in 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah is squaring off with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And the challenge is this: let's put two sacrifices up, let's call on our respective gods, and let's see which God answers our prayer by burning up this sacrifice. Is it going to be Baal, or is it going to be Yahweh? Well, first up, first inning, prophets of Baal call out, "Hear us, O Baal, hear us, hear us." They keep saying over and over and over again. They begin to dance around and cut themselves. No answer. So Elijah engages in a little bit of ridicule. I'm paraphrasing here, but this is the way he's mocking these prophets. He says, "Prophets, cry aloud, for He's a God, isn't He?" And then he says basically this: either your God Baal is lost in thought, or He's off somewhere relieving Himself. Yes, it's what you think. Or He's on a journey, or maybe He's just fallen asleep and you need to wake Him up. What's he saying? What's Elijah saying? He's saying this: false gods are a joke. Only one God never slumbers, never sleeps, never dozes off. Only one God is always attentive to the cries of His people, and that is Yahweh, our covenant Lord God. His care is constant. Remember that. Another characteristic of Yahweh's care is this: not only is it constant, but Yahweh's care of you is close. That's verses 5 and 6. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. You know, it's always tempting, isn't it, to speak about God in the abstract. To think, well, you know, God's way up here. He's distant. He's separate from us. I want to give you two song lyrics. Compare these. Contrast these. One set of lyrics comes from a popular song from 1985, made popular by a lady whose name I will not mention from the pulpit. But the song was written by a singer-songwriter by the name of Julie Gold. Here's the lyrics. God is watching us. God is watching us. God is watching us from a distance. Look at this set of lyrics. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. In other words, this is not a God who is a distant CEO. I see the big picture, but can't get close enough to get involved in the details of your life, God. No, Yahweh here is as close as your shadow on a bright, sunshiny summer day in Mississippi. Your shadow never leaves you. The Lord never leaves you. And so you combine verses 5 and 6, and you have two opposites. Sun by day, moon by night. What he's saying is this: Yahweh is the God who cares for us during the perils of the day and night, whether it be sunstroke or freezing or whatever, day and night, and here's the idea, and all those times in between the day and night. In other words, there is no circumstance in our life where Yahweh will ever abandon us. He will never leave us to face any circumstance all by ourselves. He is as close as your shadow always. And because the risen Christ has sent His Holy Spirit into us, He is as close as right here, if you're a Christian. He dwells within you. Another observation is this: our covenant God's care of us is constant and close. But notice another characteristic is this: Yahweh's care of us is continuing. Verses 7 and 8, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Now, what does it mean to say the Lord will keep you from all evil, from all harm? Does that mean that Yahweh will vaccinate you and protect you against the virus of all the bad stuff in life? You know, like sickness, sorrow, crime, unfairness, losing your job, losing money, losing your good reputation. That's not what it's saying. Just look at the saints in the Bible. Did the Lord vaccinate Joseph from the virus of being framed by Mrs. Potiphar, being thrown in the slammer? Did the Lord keep Naomi from bearing a husband and two children? Did Yahweh keep David from being on a fugitive on the lam? Saul? Did the Lord keep Paul from experiencing shipwrecks, imprisonment, and beatings? No, listen, in the history of God's people, bad things happen to God's people. But here it is. Look at the line. The Lord will keep you from all evil, and then it's explained in the second line. He will keep your soul. Your soul, the most valuable part of who you are, that is untouchable by anything and anybody. The Lord will keep you also from ultimate evil. By the way, how do you measure the loss of something? Well, it's by the value of what's lost. And, you know, there is something worse than losing your house or your job, your marriage, your health, even your life. And that's something would be losing the Lord. But right here it tells us, no matter what you lose, you'll never lose Yahweh. And even better than that, Yahweh will never lose you. No matter what happens to you, nothing in this world can lay a finger on your soul. Your soul is in maximum security. Nothing, no one can ever touch your soul. Notice it says the Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. If that last phrase rings the bell for you, perhaps it should. Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, let's go back for just a moment to Piglet and Pooh. Piglet is anxious about the wind. He's anxious about the trees twisting in the wind. And us, we're basically a whole bunch of anxiety just waiting to happen. Why? Because as we journey in this life, the hills ahead of us intimidate us. Darkness is closing all around us sometimes. Sometimes our knees are buckling under life's pressure. Our shoulders are drooping under the weight of living life in this fallen world. Yes, we need help. But the psalmist tells us where our help comes from. It comes from the Lord. So I want to ask you this. Do you really believe that the Lord is both willing and able to help you? Friends, if you have any problem with that, with the Lord's willingness and His ability to help you, I would suggest to you that you memorize Psalm 121, that you hide it in your heart, that you're able to bring it up, because it teaches us we need help, and it teaches us, it reminds us in every circumstance of life, our help comes from the Lord. The Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, help us to realize that yes, life is intimidating, but that You are our constant helper. You are our close helper. You are our continuing helper. You will never leave us or forsake us. Our souls are safe. They will land on heaven's shores untouched. In the meantime, Lord, we look to You, because You're not a part of this creation. You are the Creator of the heavens and earth. You're bigger than our problems, and You care about our problems. Lord, drive these two truths home to our heart. Yes, Lord, help us to realize You are much bigger than any problem we will ever face. And You deeply and thoroughly and forever care about our problems. Help us to remember this. Help us to remember we need You. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.